Chapter 12 The Hero's Return. Our return journey to London was relatively easy. In London, everybody knew about our story from the Daily Gazette. We decided to have a meeting at the Zoological Institute to talk about our adventures. Hundreds of famous professors and scientists from all over the world were present. Everybody wanted to hear our story. Summerlee stood and began to speak. "Last year, in this hall, Professor Challenger spoke about dinosaurs. I called him a liar. But I was wrong." Summerlee spoke for a long time. He told the people about our journey, our incredible discovery of dinosaurs, our battle with the ape people, and finally, our escape. He finished, and everybody was quiet. Then a man stood and spoke.
"Maybe you're all lying because you want to be famous."
"Yes, show us proof," said another man.
"We won't believe you if you haven't got any proof," declared another man. "Show us proof,"
everybody began to shout. Challenger stood and spoke.
"I can show you photos," he said.
"Photos can be false," the man said. "We want something real."
"You mean you want to see a real live dinosaur?" Challenger asked.
"Yes, yes," the man laughed. "Show us a real live dinosaur."
Everybody laughed at this absurd idea. Challenger laughed too. Then he stopped. He went to the back of the platform, lifted his heavy bag, and opened it. We heard a loud noise similar to the sound of a snake. Then a small, horrible creature came out. It had long wings, red eyes, and a beak full of sharp teeth. It was a baby pterodactyl. Everybody looked at the creature, shocked. They couldn't believe it. Then somebody screamed. The noise frightened the pterodactyl and it jumped. Challenger tried to catch the pterodactyl, but it flew into the air and around the hall. Everybody started to shout. People were running, trying to get out of the hall. The pterodactyl became more and more afraid. It flew faster and faster, trying to find a way to escape.
"Close the windows,"
Challenger shouted, but it was too late. He watched in horror as the pterodactyl found an open window and flew out. Everybody applauded and shouted excitedly. Now they knew our incredible story was true. They took me and my companions on their shoulders and carried us outside. The streets filled with thousands of people. All day they carried us like heroes through the streets of London. The next day, I decided to visit Gladys. She was sitting in a chair in the living room. I took her hands in mine. "Oh, you're still my sweet Gladys Hungerton," I said. She looked at me, surprised.
"No, I'm not," she said. "I'm now Gladys Potts. Let me introduce you to my husband, William Potts."
I shook hands with her new husband. He spoke to me, but I wasn't listening. Finally, I excused myself and walked to the door. But then I turned. I wanted to know something very important. "Excuse me, Mr. Potts," I said. "Please tell me, how did you do it? How did you win Gladys's heart?"
"What do you mean?"
he asked. "What is your profession?" I asked him.
"I'm a clerk," he answered.
"I see. Thank you," I answered, and then ran out. A clerk, nothing more.
He wasn't a famous man. He wasn't a hero. I wanted to laugh and cry at the same time. I wanted to ask her, why not me? But it wasn't important now. At that moment, I decided to change the name of the lake from Lake Gladys to Central Lake. That night, Lord Roxton invited me and the two professors for dinner at his house. "I've got something important to tell you, my friends," he said. "I found some interesting rocks by the pterodactyl pool. I didn't tell you about them because I wasn't sure of their classification. I brought them here to test them." Lord Roxton took a small box and opened it. There were more than 20 diamonds inside.
"They're real," he said. "The total value of these diamonds is about £200,000. That means we each get £50,000.
We looked at Lord Roxton incredulously. "That's incredibly generous of you," I said.
"Oh, don't mention it," said Lord Roxton. "I think it's only fair."
Then he turned to look at Professor Challenger.
"So, Challenger, what will you do with your money?" he asked.
"I think I'll build a private museum," answered Challenger.
"And you, Summerlee?" asked Lord Roxton.
"I want to stop teaching and have more time for scientific studies," answered Summerlee.
"I'll use my money for another bigger expedition to the plateau," declared Roxton.
We were all surprised, but we also understood. There was something magnetic about the mysterious plateau.
"And you, Edward, you probably want to use your money to get married, right?"
Roxton asked me.
"No, not yet," I answered with a smile. I had another plan.
"Lord Roxton," I announced, "if you're returning to the plateau, I'm going with you."